everybody. This is Chris and Lizzie's Random Bookish Chats. My name's Lizzie Chantry and I'm a contemporary romance author.
And I'm Chris Penhall and I'm also a contemporary romance author.
And today we'll be talking about location. So the fact that Chris and I, we see things very differently, we write very differently, but we're both in the same genre. And we're also going to be talking about getting out and about and writing while you're actually on location.
And that's what we did. We did an experiment. We actually decided to compare our writing whilst on location because we see things differently. We write the same genre. We could go somewhere and we could get something completely different out of what we're seeing. So we decided to go to one of our favourite places, didn't we, Lizzie?
We did. We went to a little coffee shop on the seafront. We say we have creative meetings, which we do, absolutely. We take our pen and paper and we make lots and lots of notes and we do lots and lots of plans, but we also have a lovely big breakfast and a lovely coffee while we're there. So this time we decided we're going to do this challenge and we're both going to write about the setting we were in or what we could see. And the results were quite surprising. They were just so, so different.
So Lizzie and I are in a cafe in South End. What's the name of the cafe, Lizzie?
Called the Riverside Cafe.
The Riverside Cafe, and it's on the seafront. And today, I'm just going to paint a brief picture before we do our challenge. Today's a bright day and the tide is in, which is always nice in South End because it's different when the tide is out, isn't it?
It's quite stark when the tide is out. We like it when the water's here because we can feel like we're by the sea.
So our challenge today, Lizzie Chantry, if you are willing to take it, does that sound a bit like Mission Impossible?
Certainly does. Sorry, I'm laughing. It's brilliant. We're going to write a couple of sentences about our surroundings and we're just going to show you that we both write romance, but actually we do things quite differently. Chris is going to be about espionage, I'm guessing, at this point.
Well, that'd be new.
Give it a go.
Right, so here we are. Look, I've got my book with the book ideas on it.
Yeah, I've got my pens and my pad. Always have a note bag.
There you go. Whoop. Here we are. So ready, steady, go. Right, Lizzie, we've both finished, haven't we? And you thought you'd written less than me, but it's only because my writing is bigger.
Yours looks about five times the size of mine.
Well, it's all about appearance, darling. That's what it is. So who's going to read it first?
You go for it.
Right, okay. Okay, so the sea glistened in the distance, the sun casting a silver light on the crests of the waves. Fleur stared at it for a while, imagining a necklace encrusted with the tiny glittering sapphires that seemed to ebb and flow with the tide. The longest pleasure pier in the world, those were the words that brought her back to reality as the open-top double-decker tourist bus drove slowly past. That's me. Yours is going to be entirely different.
That.
Thank you.
Oh my God, mine is so different.
Well, of course it is, but that's the beauty of it. So here we go. So you next.
So mine is, Rosie slammed the dishes into the sink and then swore under her breath as one of her favourite plates cracked. She remembered carefully packing them up to bring home on that last disastrous holiday in Spain with Ian. Turning back to the customer whose fault the broken plate was, she couldn't help but notice the tailored fit of his expensive suit, or the way he stood out for all the wrong reasons in her little beachside cafe.
Do you know, I've just realised the difference. I've written as a person that's sitting around staring from a cafe, and you are talking as somebody that's working in the cafe.
I'm talking about, yeah, starting my... That's going to be my next story.
There you go. I don't know where Fleur came from. well done. I'd love to read your book,
Yours
Lizzie.
Likewise.
Thank you very much. Well, that was very interesting. I knew we wrote differently, obviously, because I've read your books, but it was very sudden, wasn't it, the difference?
It was. Yours was very sort of melodic and beautiful, and mine was like slamming dishes into the sink and being angry because obviously she's had a broken relationship and there's someone that was upsetting her in her cafe. And also it was like, why is she in the cafe? Why is she working there? And it did actually make me start thinking about the start of a novel, because I am writing a new novel at the moment and it has got those sort of elements in it, and it did make me think afterwards, that could actually be the start of a new novel, which was quite interesting.
And I'm about to start writing something else that is more wintry than what I normally write. And I like a lot of colour and I like a lot of atmosphere in my books. And I think I was looking at the sea then because it was rather beautiful. It was a very cold day, but I was thinking about the light and how it looked. And I think it was imprinting in my mind the sensory element of it, and how somebody that was interested in color and art and things like that would actually see it. And it just came out of nowhere, really. I don't know about you, but I wasn't thinking. I thought, right, let's sit down, what can I see? And that's the first thing that happened. I didn't even think about the story, and it's obviously the same with you.
Yeah, I mean, I literally, although we were kind of, I wasn't kind of facing the sea, I was facing in towards the cafe. So I was looking at the staff and the people. And I often look at the way people interact, like the way they hold hands, or a child that's lost its shoe, and how they might cry, and the mother might go back to them, or, someone might put a comforting hand around somebody, or those are sort of mannerisms I really notice. So a lot of my descriptions come from emotions. So I was again looking at the staff. So we had completely different points of view from where we were sitting, and that was very, very interesting as
You
well.
know, it was actually because I could actually see outside, and I would have had to turn round to see the staff. I could hear everything. I was looking in an entirely different
Yes.
direction.
So I'd have had to turn to look at the sea, whereas I was looking at the internal part of the kitchen and the staff and things like that. So yeah, it was wonderful. I think a really, really lovely way to see how we write.
If we combined our collective forces, we could probably take over the world. Just you looking at one thing and me looking at another. But imagine, we're not the only people, are we? Just walking down the street, and you'll have a family, and they'll all be seeing the same thing, but they're not. They're seeing something entirely different. That's what's so
It's like,
interesting about books, isn't it? You could have a similar story, and it would be told in an entirely different way, depending on who's writing it.
it's like siblings growing up. Siblings grow up, they're in the same environment, the same parents, but they grow up very differently. Sometimes they're very similar, but quite often, they grow up with their own experiences, their own views of the same events. And we all do that with our writing. We all put our own individuality into our writing, which is what's so lovely. And when you're on location, it's good because you're seeing a different view, it's filling up your creative tanks, you're looking at something different, and it can kind of just inspire you to think outside the box or see something differently, which is why I really, really love, when I'm going on holiday, I always take a pad and pen. If I'm on a plane, I'll always just spend practically the whole flight writing. I just find it, just the bustle and the noise and the smells and something different from the normality, I guess, I find really, really, inspiring when I'm writing.
Well, we'll talk about that in a second. I'm Chris Penhall, and I'm talking with my friend, Lizzie Chantry, about how we write our books. And we've just done a little experiment on location at one of our favourite places where we saw the same scene. Well, actually, we've discovered we didn't. We were sitting in the same place, but we were pointing in different directions. And what we saw inspired us to write a few lines. And I think what's really interesting is that we were in the same place, but it was an entirely different experience for the both of us. But also, it's interesting where we write, or not necessarily where we write, because I think what you said a few seconds ago about, just taking a notepad away with you and seeing different things, etc. I think that if you're in the writing mood, because sometimes we're not, I mean, I find that actually quite a lot of the time I'm accidentally catching things or noticing things when I'm out and about. But when I'm really in that zone, I'm picking up information and ideas everywhere I go. I don't even have to have a pad with me. So sometimes I think when you're in that frame of mind, you're always on location writing, but you're not necessarily writing. What do you think?
No, I totally agree. You just store up those little tidbits. You see something, you think, oh, that's a character trait, or that could be part of a book. And it can be the tiniest little thing. Like I said earlier, it's about the way one of my first books, The Little Ice Cream Shop by the Sea, that was literally from going into a cafe and I saw a woman crying. And the waitress came over and she was sitting with her, she was talking to her, she was comforting her. And when the lady that was upset left, I said to the waitress, "Oh, is your friend okay?" And she said, "Oh, I've never met her before." It just made me think about the kindness of strangers. And from that, the whole story grew about, someone who you've never met before actually becoming quite important in your life. But I also write, I take notebooks with me practically everywhere. I write longhand, the first 20,000 probably of my words of my books. So I usually always have a notebook stuffed somewhere in a bag. And so I quite often will quickly just sit somewhere and write down notes of what I've seen rather than try and remember, because my memory is awful.
I'm the opposite, really. I don't take notebooks with me everywhere. So I collect all this information and then it sort of comes out the top of my head when I'm writing. And differently to you, my first book, the House That Alice Built, the first one that was published, was a long time in the making. And the genesis of that was it started off as me wanting to write a book about escaping and becoming somebody else when you are somewhere else. And a really good way of doing that is when somebody's on holiday. And it sort of changed into a story about a woman who wasn't facing up to things and just ran away from her problems, really, and arrived in a place that I knew very well. I was reading a lot of stories about people and hearing a lot of things about, when a relationship breaks up, what happens to the home that is co-owned. And how some people clearly see it as a monetary thing, and some people have an emotional connection, and all of those things, or both. It's very difficult when you when something like that happens, because the tangible things can have all of the emotion put into them. They're not easier to deal with, but it's a tangible thing you can focus on. Whereas the emotion and the sadness of a breakup and the hurt and the fear of the future is sort of harder, whereas that is a tangible thing. And my book morphed very slowly out of all of that. And it was based in Cascais, where I'd lived many years before. And I was that woman that arrived in another country. I was married with my two children. And it was like being dropped into another world. And it was inspiring and beautiful. And it's where I first started writing. And I remember a lot of what I felt and I saw and I heard when I was there, because my mind was open to it and I carried it around with me. And so I didn't write any of that down. But I remember when I started writing, I would sit where I'm sitting talking to you now in my dining room, and I could bring it back to life because it was really important to the character. That character wasn't me, but the character being somewhere new and finding a different part of herself, I took that from my experience, but I didn't write it down. I obviously can just sit there and stare into space and put myself somewhere else. It's interesting, isn't it, when we talk about how we write.
Where we write, and I was with the first book that I wrote it. I live in a three-story house. It's a top floor. It was really dark. We didn't really use the space at the time. And my child was unwell for about 10 years, so that was a location for me. I went upstairs into that little kind of space, and I had the baby monitor next to me, and I used to just listen to her breathing and coughing constantly. And I needed to keep myself awake. I tried coffee. I tried sugar. I was looking out of one window, one small window. That was my view. And I just wrote a book full of like sunshine and laughter and happiness and all the things that just were not in my life at that time, because it was full of worry. And then I hid that book in a cupboard for 5 years, until her health started to improve, and then bought it out. And that kind of location brought me a whole new career, because after 5 years, I read something about self-publishing. I was offered a publishing contract, that I turned down because my daughter's health wasn't. I didn't feel like I'd put enough into it for the publisher. And I read an article about self-publishing and decided to go with that. And then that book became a bestseller. And who knew that was going to happen? And that was just from like trudging with a heavy heart to the top of the stairs, looking out of this tiny window with the baby monitor, with like cough, 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 cough. And then just filling my mind with something else, with my imagination, really. And that has brought me a whole new career. And I would never have thought being up there on that location in that tiny room, looking out on the window in the dark, being so unhappy and, so worried, would just flourish and blossom into this beautiful new career. So you just don't ever know, do you, where you are, what's going to happen.
My time in Cascais all those years ago with my family was a wonderful interlude in my life. My late husband was working and shifts and all sorts of things, and we got dropped into Cascais. And I remember thinking, I'm not going to be here for very long. I need to make the most of this. And for some reason, it sort of infused in me. And then when we came back, we'd been in this house for like 6 months. He was diagnosed with cancer, and and 8 months later, he was dead. And so when I sat here a few years later, starting to properly write, I went back to that time. I went back to that time, to that happy time where I was engaged and excited, and I hadn't had any of this stuff happen to me. And it's interesting, isn't it, that for both of us, out of that came this. And now we know each other. And as a result of all of this, I've met all these wonderful people, but you don't know. It's finding that light, isn't it?
You know what those things, you know, out of adversity has come something really, really beautiful for both of us. And I think it's just absolutely lovely that writing can do that for people, and reading too. It can make you feel like you're not alone. You are
Yes.
not alone. You're not isolated. There are people like you. There are people that have gone through the same things as you. And even if they haven't, they, you know, understand you. You understand them. It makes you feel, you know, like you're part of a family, really, like a bigger family. By reading and writing books, and it is just absolutely wonderful.
It is, yes, it's a gift. It is. I get so
Absolutely.
much out of it. So I think what we're trying to say is that you can be on location without actually realizing it.
Yes, even when you're at home, you can be on location without knowing.
I write in lots of different parts of my house. I have got a designated area, but I never use it. And I go to cafes a lot, which is another thing I
Love
discovered
it.
all those years ago when I lived in Portugal. I just everybody used to go out to cafes, and I've never forgotten the buzz and how lovely it is to be around people, even when you've got something to focus on, because it was so long ago that cafe culture wasn't really a big thing in the UK. It wasn't like it is now. So I'm always on location. You're always on location. But sometimes
Yeah,
we're on location together having breakfast.
but it's, I think it's because our job is quite isolating and we're working on our own a lot. So it is nice to go out. I mean, people probably just think I spend my whole life in a cafe, which I would quite happily. So I am actually at my desk. I have an office in a barn that I work in. I take my dog there in the middle of it's in the middle of a field. I keep saying to people, I'm just in the middle of mud every day. That is my office. And again, that's on location. Yeah. So I work in the middle of a field, a muddy field most of the time. There's three dogs there. They run around like loonies. And we just absolutely sit there every day. And I look out at the woods and the trees and the grass. And I just sit and write there most days. But the rest of the time, I'm in a coffee shop because they have cake and coffee.
So thank you for listening to Chris and Lizzie's Random Bookish Chats.
Thanks for seeing us, everybody. Thanks for listening. See you next time.